Hare Krishna. Today we are celebrating great festival. What's the festival? What's everyone celebrating throughout India, mostly? Nanda Utsav. Nanda means happiness, Utsav means festival. So it means a happy festival. Is that what it means? Well, you could say that, but festival means happy. We never heard of any miserable festival. Maybe Good Friday or something like that. The celebration of when they killed Jesus. The celebration, Nanda Maharaj is celebrating that Krishna has appeared in this world. And what's Krishna doing today? He's celebrating Prabhupada's appearance in this world. That's what we're doing also. How does Nanda Maharaj celebrate the festival of Krishna's appearance? He gives gifts on Krishna's behalf to the brahmanas. And as Krishna gets older, he himself gives gifts. So his best gift on this day is Srila Prabhupada. He gave to Gaur Mohan Day. You say, we were blessed. People say, don't they? We were blessed by the grace of God with the child. They may give the name, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the names of his sons. Anada Prasad, Lalita Prasad, Bimala Prasad, Krishna Prasad. He didn't give the name Krishna Prasad. He gave names of various devis, demigoddesses from the spiritual world. So he gave to Gaur Mohan Day, he gave to Bhakti Stan Saraswati, he gave to us, he gave to the whole world. Srila Prabhupada. So we're very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, and we're very grateful to Krishna. Grateful to Krishna for having given us his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, who we refer to as Parampuja, most worshipable. That might seem strange because Srila Prabhupada is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The most worshipable is God on high. The Christians say, God on high. He's low also. He's not only up there, he's down here also. He's everywhere. Glory to God on high. Well, he is very high. And we are very low. And he kindly sends us his representatives who act as the as the viceroy. Srila Prabhupada gave this example, which we may not understand very much in the present day and age, but it was very much a part of Srila Prabhupada's upbringing that there was the viceroy in India who was the representative of the king or queen in Britain. First there was a queen and she died in 1901, and then there were kings after that. So the viceroy is to be treated on a level exactly like that of the king in England. When he goes somewhere in India, there'll be a huge turnout, bombastic, with cannons and salutes with cannons and troops dressed up. In those days, the troops would be dressed up in bright uniforms. Only later they got the idea, camouflage uniforms, and on horses and elephants. Even in England, you wouldn't get elephants in a parade for the king. But in India, so many elephants, caparisoned, decorated. There was a very big turnout. It's treated exactly like as if the king would come, as if the king was personally present. And he took that role in India, not everywhere, but he took that role as long as he was in India. And so many gifts would be given to him, but he didn't keep anything. That was not allowed. It was the duty of the citizens to offer gifts to the viceroy, but he would give everything to the king. That means it would be sent to the king in England. So in that sense, Srila Prabhupada is Param Puja. It doesn't mean that actually he's not as good as the king. He is as good as the king. He's as good as Krishna. But in a certain sense, we don't say that he is God himself. This is something which Muslims especially don't understand and don't like, although they offer respects to their mullahs. It's a natural tendency of someone who's pious to offer respects to someone who they see is representing God in this world. But in their idea, the Muslims' idea, no one represented God in this world for several centuries. Although, but it's so deeply in the Indian character, not only in India, but I think probably especially in India, that they have these dargahs of saints, peers, or holy people, Muslims have, which literally according to their culture or their teachings, they're not supposed to have. But they do it. So within Vedic culture, that is not covered up. It's not pretending that, well, we're offering respect to someone, but we don't really respect them. We're offering respect, but it's not really respect. Or we do ulta parikrama of Kaaba, but we're not really offering respect. So you have to keep some pretension. But yet with the deity, yeah. Deity is Krishna. Not exactly, yes, exactly, but not exactly Krishna as he appeared in this world 5,000 years ago. Yes, he is, and in some ways, not also. The Srila Prabhupada is Krishna. Well, we could say everyone is Krishna in one sense. In one sense, it's not incorrect to say. But only in one sense, inasmuch as Krishna is not different from anything. We can say that Krishna, we are not different from Krishna, but Krishna is different from us. And that, according to logic, that doesn't make sense. But then, by logic, we can't reach Krishna. So it's to be understood in a special sense. And although everything and anything can be said to be Krishna, inasmuch as everything is an expansion of Krishna's energy, at the same time, the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master, is to be treated just like Krishna, just like the viceroy. When he goes back to England, then he is non-different from the king in the same way as everyone else is non-different from the king, in as much as we're all citizens, we're all members of the same country. The viceroy doesn't have any special position. He may be given another post when he goes back, but officially he doesn't have any special position. He's not in the position as the viceroy. But he remains, in one sense, non-different from the king. They're all Britishers. Maybe the king is not a citizen, exactly. But they're all Britishers. But still, the viceroy has a very special position. And actually, just like I was giving that example, the viceroy in India had parades with elephants, which is more opulent than in Britain, the king. But that's due to Britain being intrinsically not so opulent as India. But Krishna in the spiritual world, of course, has unlimited opulence. And we can only offer limited opulence to the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like Srila Prabhupada in Australia, One time we went to Australia, devotees arranged for him to be picked up from the airport in a Rolls-Royce car. They hired a Rolls-Royce car, which is a symbol of the highest prestige. The Queen of England doesn't go in any other car except Rolls-Royce. I doubt it very much if she goes in any other kind of car except a Rolls-Royce car. It's only for very prestigious people because it's very expensive. Forget Mercedes and BMW and all these things. It's very, very expensive. So some newspaper reporters, they challenge Srila Prabhupada on this. And how are you going? You're supposed to be a holy person. Then why are you going in a big car? Because the idea is that holy people, they should be detached from this world. They shouldn't desire such things. And Srila Prabhupada said that, well, I've come as the representative of God, and God goes in a golden car. So what is this tin can Rolls Royce? It's not good enough, actually. But anyway, I'm accepting. It's the best they can do. But actually, the spiritual master, yeah, should be treated as good as God. And particularly when we have such a special spiritual master. And again, it's difficult to say, because every spiritual master is special. But then again, we can't say that Srila Prabhupada is just one among others. Every eagle is a special bird. We don't have eagles in India. But then every eagle is not a Garuda. Even among eagles, Garuda is very special. So Param Puja, yes. He's offered the highest respect. Not that we think that he is Krishna directly himself. Who should be most highly respected? Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can anyone else be treated on the same level? Then it appears to be polytheism. No, this is not polytheism. It's recognizing that by the grace of Krishna, someone can be his representative. And Krishna himself likes this. We should do what Krishna wants, not what we think is right. We may think it is right that just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that referring to himself, who is this person sitting on a big seat in up above everyone else? He's like a big brute, like a zoo animal. What is he? What is his pride in sitting on a big seat above everyone else as if he's superior? But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explained that it is the duty of the disciple to teach the Shastra to the disciple, to teach it as it is. So when he comes to the part, when the Guru comes to the part where Krishna teaches, Acharyang mang vijani yandava manyeta karhichitna marja buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guruhu. When Krishna says that one should respect the Acharya to be myself and never disrespect him in any way, never think of him as an ordinary human being. One should see him as being the conglomeration or the representative of all saintly persons and great personalities. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when the guru, in the course of teaching the Bhagavatam to the disciples, when he comes to this, should he say, well, actually, you shouldn't follow this. You should beat the guru with sticks. Is that correct? Now he should teach what is there, and he should epitomize that also. He should, in other words, he should teach the disciples to worship himself. And actually Srila Prabhupada had to do that. That's still there in the culture. In India, it definitely wasn't in the West. Even Ravi Shankar, the sitar player, famous sitar player, who was teaching in America at that time, he bemoaned the fact to Srila Prabhupada, he bemoaned the fact that, you see, here in the West, people come to learn something from you, and the sitar, you have to sit on the floor and to play it, and they'll sit with their feet toward you. It was absolutely unthinkable in India that you'll sit with your feet toward the guru. The guru who's teaching sitar, he's also to be respected as good as God by the students. That's the system. Even if the Muslims come to play the tabla and this and that, they have to go through the culture. These Ali Akbar Khan and all this, they'll offer respect to Ganesh and Saraswati. That's how you do it. That's the way. So Srila Prabhupada had to teach his disciples to worship him. But he was worthy to be worshipped because he didn't accept worship on his own behalf. He offered it all to Krishna. Everything for Krishna. Krishnarthe kila cheshta. He taught that. Everything, all endeavors should be for the sake of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My relationship with Srila Prabhupada is very much like your relationship, inasmuch as it's based on his vani. And actually, even those disciples of Srila Prabhupada who had much personal association with him, they can tell so many anecdotes which we love to hear. But still, for their, even those devotees who had so much personal association with Srila Prabhupada, for their relationship with Srila Prabhupada to be truly meaningful, it had to be based on his instructions, not how they would talk with Srila Prabhupada, maybe laugh with him and joke with him. It has to be based on his instructions. And even some of the devotees who are very close to Srila Prabhupada, in the sense that he knew them personally and had a lot of personal interaction with them, if they went against his instructions, he would chastise, he would distance them. In the cases of Kirtanananda and Hayagriva, at the very, very beginning, they helped him so much. But then when especially Kirtanananda became inimical and offensive to Prabhupada, and started preaching wrong philosophy, then Srila Prabhupada distanced him. He accepted him back when he came back. But it wasn't that Srila Prabhupada, he was ready to accept devotees simply because he knew them and liked them. It wasn't a mundane relationship. He didn't know some devotees and like them more than others. He didn't know me, so to speak. And many, many others. Even Prabhavishnu Das Brahmachari, he told me, was it two or three times that Srila Prabhupada saw him in England and in front of him asked some other of his disciples who he personally knew, who is that boy? What is his name? Prabhupada had initiated him, but he didn't know him per se. Later, when Prabhavishnu came to India and he was managing directly under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, the Bombay project, then Srila Prabhupada got to know him personally. But otherwise he didn't know him personally, in that sense. in the sense that we normally think. So my relationship with Srila Prabhupada is completely based on Vani, and Vani and service to the Vani, not just some sounds floating in space, but it is Guru Mukha, Paddabako, Chitete Korea Oika, Ana Kari Homane Asha. We take that instruction, we hear it, we take it into our heart, we kick out everything else in there, we don't allow anything else there, we don't desire anything else. Which means we have to act on that. Spiritual master, that term, Srila Prabhupada translated as guru, as spiritual master. So master means there's a master, means there's a servant, there's a spiritual servant. We have to follow the instruction. So we're all connected with Srila Prabhupada by his instructions. And by the power of Maya or whatever it is, when Srila Prabhupada was personally present, we all felt that Srila Prabhupada's instructions were very simple and easy to understand. And they are. But on certain points we find nowadays that there are major differences among Srila Prabhupada's followers based on the implementation of those instructions. What did Srila Prabhupada actually want? We have his instructions, but exactly what to do and how to implement them, there may be differences of opinion. not just opinion, but conviction. Devotees are convinced, and they'll quote Srila Prabhupada in so many ways. And it's also been stated by a leading disciple of Srila Prabhupada, one who was one of the very earliest disciples who's remained steady in Krishna consciousness all these years. He also stated many years ago that don't look so much to what Srila Prabhupada said and did, but think what he would say and do now, which may put us on very shaky ground. But on the other hand, Srila Prabhupada wasn't stereotyped. He did act differently in different times and places and circumstances with different people. So we can see that it may not be so easy to grasp by our intelligence or by our, even by our sincerity. I guess everyone on different sides of the fence on different controversial issues regarding Srila Prabhupada's instructions, they all think they're sincere. So these are some of the things that are realities at the present time among those who identify themselves as followers of Srila Prabhupada. Clearly, there are some statements of Srila Prabhupada that we have to be careful with in repeating, in which circumstances we repeat them. Some of them are highly controversial in the world today. they may not have been previously. And it depends which part of the world you're in also. Previously, some of Srila Prabhupada's statements about women, for instance, which are derived from Shastra, previously that would have been just accepted. Nowadays, it becomes highly unacceptable. So we may be careful how we understand that or present it. With many statements of Srila Prabhupada, we have to understand them very carefully. Not just the highly controversial ones. But considering that Srila Prabhupada emphasized always as it is, we should accept the instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita as it is. We should accept what Srila Prabhupada says straightforwardly without any interpretation. But then sometimes Srila Prabhupada was joking. And in joking, sometimes you say things which you don't literally mean should be accepted at face value. I'll just give a few examples of that. Now, we're celebrating today Nandotsav, Krishna's appearance. So here's one which is suitable for Nandotsav. Srila Prabhupada is, in this quote, which appears in the teachings of Lord Kapila, Srila Prabhupada is paraphrasing a verse which is most, from a verse from Bhagavad Gita, which is most apt for discussion any day, every day, but especially on Janmashtami. Janma karma chame devyama evangyo veti tatvataha tyakva dehang punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. Krishna says that anyone who knows fully, properly, in truth, the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving his body, take birth again in this world, O Arjuna, but comes to me. So Srila Prabhupada, commenting on this, says, simply try to understand Krishna. Why does he come? What are his activities? Where does he come from? Why does he come in the form of a human being? We only have to try and understand this and study Krishna as he explains himself in Bhagavad Gita. What is the difficulty? God personally explains himself as he is. And if we accept Bhagavad Gita as it is, we shall no longer have to transmigrate. Tyagva dehang punarajanma naiti. We shall no longer have to endure birth and death, for we can attain our spiritual bodies, Satchidananda Vigraha, and live happily in Krishna's family. Krishna is providing for us here, and he will also provide for us there. So we should know that our happiness is in returning home, back to Godhead, where we can eat, drink, and be merry in Krishna's company. So Srila Prabhupada, he would sometimes quote this, eat, drink, and be merry, as the epitome of the foolish mentality of materialists. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall be dead. The foolish idea of materialists. Yeah, you'll be dead, but then you'll be alive again. And you'll suffer for all your eating, drinking, and being merry without utilizing your human life for Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, he often spoke of living, how by practicing Krishna consciousness you can live happily in this world and prepare yourself for going to the next world, to the spiritual world, and you can live happily there also. So he often spoke about this. Actually, he often spoke about it, or particularly in relationship to living simply on the land, growing food, protecting the cows, living in Krishna consciousness very simply. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada said, we can live very happily and prepare ourselves to go to the spiritual world. Now, the point that we should live happily in this world and practice Krishna consciousness, sometimes, it is seen that some devotees, they seem to emphasize the live happily in this world part more. And we're chanting Hare Krishna, but living happily in this world is important also. So therefore, we also have to have plenty of money and a good job, It means to become a good dog, Srila Prabhupada would often say. He would quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shvavriti, the means of livelihood of a dog is to accept a master and take payment. So there is an idea that, well, we should live happily in this world and in the next world. And Prabhupada said that, but he didn't mean that live happily according to the eat, drink, and be merry ideas of the materialists. Even if the eating and drinking is Krishna prasad, the idea that we have to have a big house and a big apartment and be prestigious and in this way show ourselves to be expert materialists with plenty of material opulence, and, oh yeah, I have to chant Hare Krishna also, squeeze it in, right? Squeeze in my rounds here and there. But then how do you understand this properly? Well, here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita commentary. It's not even a whole sentence, it's just part of a sentence, in which he writes that endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Let's hear that again. Endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. So we may build beautiful temples for Krishna, spiritual opulence, but if we want to decorate our own home and have a very costly home and apartment and the most expensive car, we can say, I'm doing it for Krishna. I've seen that many times. Some Telugu young man in New Jersey with a very big house, much bigger than he needed. He's recently married. I think he had one kid. This was years ago, 20 years ago. I said to him, what have you got such a big house for? What's the point? It's just you and your wife and one kid. He said, oh, I got such a big house because then I can invite devotees and have festivals. And yeah, maybe he does it once or twice a year. But there's no idea of personal prestige. Nothing. Or the idea that if I have a big house, I'm better than someone who doesn't have a big house. My parents will be happy. They'll be pleased that I got a big house. You can build a big temple for Krishna. That you can do. Here's another statement. Srila Prabhupada's making a little joke at the expense of Lord Shiva. It comes right in the Bhagavatam commentary. That's not for ordinary people to do. It was fortunate for Sati that Lord Shiva did not take the ornaments from his wife and spend them for ganja. Because those who imitate Lord Shiva in smoking ganja exploit everything from household affairs. They take all of their wives' property and spend on smoking, intoxication, and similar other activities. So I remember in Malaysia, we were distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and sets of books sometimes mostly among the Tamil population and the Chinese. And as you might have noticed here in Tamil Nadu, people tend to be most people are more attached to Murugan and Shiva than to Krishna. In fact, they're trying to make some idea. That's especially in Sri Lanka. They say this is Shiva's place. Right? There's some people there, they're very strong. They don't want Vishnu worship. So he became very upset on reading this. How can you say that Lord Shiva's, he's going to take his wife's ornaments and spend it for ganja? His wife is the overseer of the whole material creation. All the ganja that's growing is growing by her blessings. He can get as much ganja as he wants without stealing the ornaments. But Srila Prabhupada is, as someone of his status can do, is making a little joke, but also pointing out that by in doing so, he's also pointing out that people who claim to be worshipping Lord Shiva but they smoke ganja, that's not really the best way to worship him. Although it's accepted all over India, maybe more in North India, that Shiva Baba means clouds. They're in the clouds, not the Brahma Jyoti. It's the clouds of ganja. That's for holy people. They say it helps meditation. I never tried it, and I don't recommend it either. But that's the point that Srila Prabhupada is making. It's don't do that. Now, other statements of Srila Prabhupada, we have to be very careful not to misunderstand them. Because Srila Prabhupada openly stated that this movement is meant to kill all demons who are opposed to Krishna consciousness. Here is a quote from Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam commentary. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world with two aims: to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to kill all the pretenders who falsely present themselves as avatars. The preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement must carry this conviction very carefully within their hearts and kill the demons who in many tactful ways vilify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. If we take shelter of Narasimhadev and Prahlada Maharaj, it will be easier to kill the demons who are against Krishna and to thus re-establish Krishna's supremacy. So, what are we doing? We call ourselves followers of Srila Prabhupada, but we're not killing the demons. Where's your Kalashnikov? Or where is our plans for... Well, what about no need of plans? You can just take a tip from followers of another religion. You can just do a suicide bombing, right? You can go and just like this, there's someone who hugs, you can hug her to the other side of the Viraja River and go yourself also at the same time. Here's another quote from Srila Prabhupada, from his talks. This movement is advented to kill all the so-called yogis, swamis, avatars, rascals, philosophers, commentators. We have to kill, vanquish all these rascals, so-called swamis. They say, why do you criticize others also? Because we have to vanquish them. Now these people cannot rise. When there is sunrise, there is no use of these glow worms. So this Krishna consciousness movement is Krishna himself. Therefore, they must be finished all over the world. So-called religionists, so-called philosophers, so-called avatars, swamis, yogis, finished. Our program should be like that. Dangerous words. And you're laughing, but someone could take it absolutely literally. We should take it literally and not literally also. Or we should understand taking this, not taking a quote from Srila Prabhupada's teachings, but seeing all the corpus of his teachings. And seeing the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, also it's important to see him as a transmitter of the message of Krishna through parampara. To see Srila Prabhupada as how he presented himself as a follower of the parampara coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. the proof that a devotee is really a devotee is his non-violence to the mudhas. Now, that's not a quote from Prabhupada, but I'm paraphrasing what Srila Prabhupada said. I'll say that now. We have to kill this civilization of mudhas. That is the Krishna consciousness movement. Paritranaya sadhu nam vinashaya tadushkritam. Those who are actually human being, you have to give them Krishna. And those who are mudhas, we have to kill them. This is our business. Kill all the mudhas and give Krishna to the sane man. Yes, that will prove that you are really Krishnas. We are not non-violent. We are violent to the mudhas. So that's why I said, on the basis of what Srila Prabhupada said, that the proof that a devotee is really a devotee is that he is non-violent to the mudhas, especially the impersonalist. Here's an early quote from an early letter from Srila Prabhupada. Our Lord Krishna assumed the form of a lion and killed the atheist Hiranyakashipu, and by disciplic succession, we shall also kill all impersonalist atheists. Absolutely, there is no Krishna consciousness for the impersonalist. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada. Shunyavadis say, there is no God and there is nothing factual. Everything is a combination of some illusory things. This is Shunyavadi. And the Mayavadis say, yes, there is God, but he has no form. Therefore, we have to kill both of them. Nirvishesha Shunyavad Paschatadeshatarni. The whole Western world is filled up with these Shunyavadi and impersonalists. India is also nowadays, but still there are devotees in the Acharya Sampradaya. They are fighting against Shunyavad and Nirvishesha. Srila Prabhupada clearly said to kill impersonalists, voidists, and anyone who cannot be convinced to take to Krishna consciousness. Okay, so we have to understand what he means by killing here. Srila Prabhupada wrote that fighting impersonalism and voidism is with pure devotional service. Therefore, we are printing books like our Krishna book so that people may know that the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. Although Srila Prabhupada said to kill, he proscribed, not prescribed, he proscribed physical killing. Here's another quote from Srila Prabhupada. By killing, we don't mean that you take a weapon. So what does that mean? You strangle them with your hands? No. Prabhupada says, don't mean that you take a weapon. That is not possible in this age. Neither have you got the strength. If you kill, then you will be killed also. In other words, if we try to physically kill someone, we may do so, but we'll get killed also. But there are two kinds of victory. By logic, by reason, by education, you can kill their demonic propensities. That is also killing. If one is a demon and you can turn him into a demon, into a devotee by your logic, by your arguments, then also he's killed. His demonic principle is killed. Now he's a saintly person. That is also killing. In Kali Yuga, they're already very poverty-stricken, poor, so this physical killing is too much for them. They should be killed by argument, reason, scientific propositions. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, should we use violence to spread Krishna consciousness? Should we use violence to spread Krishna consciousness? Srila Prabhupada's reply, no, you cannot create love by violence. There is actually one quote of Srila Prabhupada's where he says that the atom bomb can be used for Krishna. But let's not bring that out now, because clearly his preferred way was by spreading Krishna, by pure devotional service. Exactly what he, in light of all these comments, we shouldn't take that as an order or an instruction to utilize the atom bomb, nor are we in any position to do so. Srila Prabhupada explained that in Kali Yuga, killing the demons means to kill the demoniac mentality of the people by introducing the Sankirtan movement. And here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada's discussion. This Hare Krishna movement is also an astra, a weapon of Krishna for killing the demons, but it is not like a sword. It is not active, but it is an astra. It is killing the demons. It is killing the demons, but in a different way. The demonic habits are being killed. Everyone can understand how our demonic activities are being killed by this Hare Krishna movement. This is an astra, but it is being used in a different way, because in this age they are so fallen. Manda manda bhagya, lazy, unlucky. This real astra weapon cannot be used upon them. It is already dead. They're already dead. They're already spiritually dead. So therefore another type of astra to awaken them to life is the Hare Krishna mantra. Maha mantra, astra. Otherwise they are already dead. Beating a dead horse. There's a saying in English, beating a dead horse. The horse you want to take you want to sit on the back of the horse. And if the horse doesn't go, then you beat it. But if the horse is dead, then there's no use to beat it. It's not going to take you anywhere. So Srila Prabhupada explains this. A horse is dead. What will you get by beating with whips? There are big demons. Hiranyakashipu was required to be killed by the nails of the Lord, who appeared as a ferocious lion. But here, the teeny demons. There is no need of nails or any sword. They are to be awakened simply by Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna. It is in this manner that, quoting Srila Prabhupada, our missionary activities are aimed at eradicating the demoniac mentality on a wide scale. Now I'm going to quote from one of Srila Prabhupada's last purports in the early part of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Whenever there is a burden created by the demons, and whenever the innocent devotees are distressed by demoniac rulers, the Lord appears in due course of time to kill the demons with the assistance of his real representatives. As it is the duty of the parts of the body to serve the whole, it is the duty of Krishna's devotees to serve Krishna as he wants. Krishna's business is to kill the demons, and therefore this should be a devotee's business also. Because the people of Kali Yuga are fallen, however, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of kindness for them, did not bring any weapon to kill them. Rather, by spreading Krishna consciousness, love of Krishna, he wanted to kill their nefarious demoniac activities. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Unless the demoniac activities on the surface of the world are diminished or vanquished, no one can be happy. So killing the demons is supposed to stop their demoniac activities. Because without stopping the demoniac activities, no one can be happy. But Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain, the program for the conditioned soul is fully described in Bhagavad Gita, and one simply has to follow these instructions to become happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore prescribed Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam Kalao, Nascheva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Let people chant the Hare Krishna mantra constantly. Then their demoniac tendencies will be killed and they will become first-class devotees, happy in this life and in the next. So then my comment. This is, what I'm reading now is actually an extract from the manuscript of my book, The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada. So this will be the test of our preaching. Srila Prabhupada said, our preaching means to turn demons into devotees. That is our preaching. If you keep them as demons, then your preaching is lacking. So in service to Srila Prabhupada, we have to spread this chanting, distributing books. He lives forever in his instructions. And the follower lives with him. How does the follower live with him? By carrying out his instructions. So on this appearance day of Srila Prabhupada, we who are so fortunate to have taken advantage or somehow or other by good fortune received the mercy that Srila Prabhupada came to give, Krishna's mercy, received through the medium of Srila Prabhupada. We have to see how we are living with Srila Prabhupada, if we're actually followers, by following his instructions. So that Krishna conscious movement is for changing the face of the world, turning demons into devotees. The world is in a very horrible situation. I've been reading the tributes book, Srila Prabhupada tributes, offerings, written offerings to Srila Prabhupada by his disciples. And almost all of them mention about the coronavirus pandemic. Understanding that Srila Prabhupada had foreseen the collapse of the present civilization, he wanted his disciples to change the face of the world, to save people from the sinful activities. The devotees who are the disciples of Srila Prabhupada are writing, they're recognizing that the underlying cause of this virus spreading all over the world is that there are severe sinful activities all over the world. And actually, if we had spread Krishna consciousness very widely, as Srila Prabhupada wanted, if we had been successful in doing that in a very wide extent, then this coronavirus wouldn't have happened. If we accept that the coronavirus comes from animals and animal killing, it does, we understand, by the laws of karma, but even by the laws of biology, it's also an effect of sinful life, of killing animals. So another thing that devotees are beginning to realize, which is what I've been saying about the coronavirus, well, it's good if devotees realize that actually Srila Prabhupada wanted us to establish simple living and high thinking, farm communities, depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna. And that if we'd have done this, then at least the devotees would have been immune from this virus. Although at our farm, two of our devotees got it, right? They got the virus. But then, so it spread there also. But others of our farms, there's no such thing. It may come, it may spread to other of our farms, but on this appearance day of Srila Prabhupada, who said that ISKCON is non-different from himself, he is non-different from ISKCON, then I'm looking forward to the rebirth or renewed birth of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that if we do what Prabhupada wanted, and like I say, it's not just me complaining, but as we see from the tributes book, that many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples are recognizing that, oh, we didn't do the farms. Oh, well, we're busy doing other things. We'll do it later. And it's always later, 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 later. So if we'd have actually done that, and then we could boldly say to others, yes, Krishna consciousness is the best way of life. Instead of parroting New Age neo-Buddhists talk about compassion and mindfulness and well-being and all these kind of vague terms. They're very vague if you don't bring in Krishna. They're meaningless without Krishna, but we're trying to run behind the New Agey types and maybe scoop up one or two of the people who they've infected with the virus of voidism and impersonalism by talking about compassion, gratefulness, mindfulness, well-being and all these things without Krishna, and just some vague feeling of spirituality, which is completely, even by Buddhism or actual impersonalism or Buddhism, you just can't feel that you're a Buddhist. You have to, there's discipline. If you're going to be at least according to original Buddhism. Anyway, that's another topic. But you're supposed to follow some things. There are so many rules that you have. There's some discipline, severe discipline, actually. So we wouldn't have to run behind all these people. We'd show, look, we have a better way of life. It's on our farms, you can see. We're distributing these books. This philosophy makes sense, this idea that you can't say it is, you can't say it isn't, you can't say it both is and it isn't, you can't say it neither is nor it isn't. How do you argue with that? You can't argue with it, because if the person says, well, you can't say that it is, okay, it isn't, no, you can't say that. There's nothing you can grab onto. And what's it? What is it that you're saying doesn't exist or doesn't not exist or neither exist nor not exist? Well, there is no it. That's your illusion to think that there's an it. Even philosophically, it's complete rubbish, total garbage. But people like it because there's no surrender to Krishna and you feel spiritual. But we can show really, yes, your society's rubbish and your so-called gratefulness, compassion, well-being, mindfulness, harmony, it's just instead of passing physical junk out your back, you're passing verbal junk out of the front. This is something real. So some imagined nirvana and imagined well-being and love for all beings. This is real. Come here, live simply, chant Hare Krishna. Understand your relationship with Krishna. Krishna is the basis of everything. There is a basis of everything. Asatyam apratishtam te. Asatyam. This world is unreal. Brahma satyam jagan mitya. The impersonalist. And apratishta, there's no actual basis to it. There is nothing. There's nothing. That's the voidists. But you can talk all these things. You come to our farms and you take prasadam, food you've never tasted anything like that. So healthy and so tasty, with the remnants of Krishna, Krishna's blessings, and then you can forget all that. You don't need all this impersonalism and voidism. It's worse than poison. So come, we have to show it. It's not too late. It is too late, but it's not completely too late. It can still be done. If we'd have done it, there would have been no need for this bridge preaching. We could just tell everyone. Actually, there's no need anyway. But especially if we had the farms, we can show, here, come. You don't be a demon. Don't be a meat-eating, wine-drinking, woman-hunting demon, and don't be a vegan, so-called very spiritual demon either. Be a devotee of Krishna. Come and join us. Come and join us in the kirtan, chanting and dancing. We can call people all the new agey time. They'll do kirtan, they'll jump, and they'll think it's very nice, and they'll go back to their imagined Mayavad. But we can say, no need to go back. You come, stay, live with us, chant Hare Krishna. Here is Krishna. Here is reality. Here is love, not your vague love. We love everyone and we love everything. Krishna, here is Krishna. There's no need for all this waffling and roundabout pretending that we're trying to, here in India, develop the nation. We need development. Yeah. We need to build big schools and big hospitals and develop the nation and send all the children to school to learn that they descended from some big chunk, some big bang. And we're all chemicals. No need for this. Let's do what Prabhupada wanted. So we're looking forward that Srila Prabhupada has come in the form of coronavirus. Krishna has come in the form of coronavirus to wake us up. What are we supposed to be doing? We should have done it. We can do it. We must do it. Let the phoenix arise from the ashes. Let like Hanuman didn't know how powerful he is. So we don't, it seems we don't realize how powerful is the message that Prabhupada gave us. Otherwise, why do you have to teach yoga? There are already dozens, hundreds, thousands of people teaching how to put your leg behind your neck. I don't know if they can do that. Or how to sit down and touch your head to your knees. There are already thousands of people doing that. Who is teaching that we're not the body, which is the ABC of spiritual life? There's no one doing that. Even the so-called Buddhists. If we say you're not the body, they'll say no, there's no you. The Prabhupada gave the example. Okay, point to your head, okay, head, yeah. Point to your chest, yeah. Point to your arm, yeah. Then where is you? But all the Buddhists say, there is no you. There's no such thing, you see. You take it all apart, there's nothing there. There's no you. Hey, horrible, horrible philosophy, horrible idea. There's no meaning to anything. That means what you just said has no meaning also. The Buddha is also meaningless. They can't avoid it. So we have real understanding. We have a better way to live in this world. Live happily in this life and go back to Godhead. We have to manifest that for the people of the world. Otherwise it's theoretical. Let ISKCON arise. Let us dedicate ourselves to Srila Prabhupada's service and kill the demoniac civilization by giving them holy name, Krishna's books, Krishna Prasad. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravarni Pracharne. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate.